Somebody recently pointed out to me that in season 7, I think, JJ says that she has been at the BAU. No, in season, yeah, 7, she says she's been at the BAU for like 8 years, something like that. But they did the math on it, and it means that she was 25 in season 1. She's a year older than Reed. Instead of what I thought, which is I went by AJ's age, 27.
I thought that they were the same age.
No.
Or that she was two years older.
Yeah, so Reed turns 24 in season 1. We know this for a fact. And we know for a fact that Penelope is 30 in season 3. So in season 1, we know that Reed is 24 and we know Penelope is 27. I thought JJ was like 27 too, I guess. Maybe Penelope's like 28. No, apparently she's only a year older than Reed is in canon. I'm refusing that because then like Reed can have his 3 degrees and be like taken in right after everything. JJ's a little like, I love her. But she has like a normal human timeline.
Yeah. Right? No, yeah. So she should absolutely, as a 25-year-old, you should not put me in charge of jack shit.
Yeah. You know, even like being 26 or 27 is like crazy.
But partially in charge of this podcast is sometimes too much responsibility. You want me to make life-changing decisions for a bunch of people? All the time? Absolutely fucking not.
I mean, absolutely, I think part of that does, you know, that shows just that episode where she's like, I feel a lot of pressure, actually.
Yeah, real. Uh-huh.
But I think it makes more sense. She goes to undergrad, she goes to grad school, she goes to the academy right out of grad school. We know that because she will find out later that she saw Rossi talk and that made her be like, I'm going to join the FBI. So I guess those talks do work that he gives.
I guess. Anyway, congrats to them.
She goes to the academy, which is like very short. It's like 6 months or something, like less. And then it makes sense for her to work in like another department as like a media liaison for like a year or two. And then she gets transferred to the BAU. That makes sense to me.
Also, though, tossing this young buck to the wolves, truly.
I mean,
being a media liaison for like any other department has got to be like a whole different ballgame than being one for the BAU, right?
I feel like the media liaison part would be like less stressful, but the like choosing cases and all that. In my head, JJ she's like the first person to have this job. Because Rossi says
that makes sense.
They didn't have that.
It also makes sense because we've theorized a lot of times that like Hotch should be doing half of JJ's job.
Yeah.
Like so the choosing cases part should be his job.
Right. So I think that like, I think, and the fact that her title has like shifted over
it
the
keeps
seasons,
moving.
Like,
she keeps getting lateral promotions.
Like, literally. Like,
one step. I feel so bad for her. Girl, that must suck so much.
Girl, ask for a pay raise for real. Please. But I think that she probably came on as like, oh, we need somebody to like handle the media. We need like a press conference so that like all of you guys can focus on profiling. Right. And then we'll have somebody else like talk to the locals. But then like because JJ built these relationships with like the locals and the media, the locals started like calling her asking for help, you know, and she's like, yeah. Well, Hotch already has so much on his plate. I'll just do this. But then Hotch was like, oh, you know, it's actually really helpful for you to like vet them a little bit, you know, so I don't have to talk to the crazies. And then that became like more and more JJ deciding what gets passed on. And then one day Hotch woke up and JJ was like, Hotch, we have a case. And he's like, oh,
okay. I guess
if you say so, like... To me, that's like JJ like came in as like, you know.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
I'm going to be the face of the team. You guys are really socially awkward. Hi. And then was like, wow, you guys need some help. Which is why I think she should be unit chief.
She should.
It is the natural continuation of her journey. Like, I love Profiler JJ, but like, put that picture at her desk. She would run, she'd be FBI director for real.
She would run that shit like a fucking, she would run that shit like a sorority at a Southern university. You know that shit is a fucking clockwork, dude. She is running that shit. She is running that shit. Also, I love that we're
everyday meetings.
I love that we're talking about JJ so much in yet another episode where she does not appear. She's not here this time.
Once again, I forgot that JJ was on this episode. And
did you get sad?
Yes. I love Meta Golding. I love Jordan Todd. But when it cut to the briefing, I was like, okay, what's going on? And then Jordan started talking and I was like, oh no, it's JJ.
It's because we haven't watched an episode in like 2 weeks. So therefore, our fucking object permeance is just gone. We are like a baby whose parent just started playing peekaboo, but we don't know shit.
Object permanence, not permeance. Sorry, We're not being permeated by objects. At least I'm not. Whatever James, you do in your free time is up to you.
James, look me in the fucking eye and tell me that I have ever spoken a single word fucking correctly in my entire goddamn life. I have the world's worst Minnesota drawl when I let it through. Like, you don't want to, like, don't fucking try and give me this hard in impermanence. Fuck you. That's unnatural. That's strange and unnatural. I've also absolutely said it like permeance before, because that's just how I pronounce that word when I have to say it with object permanence. I know! I'm not stupid! I am aware they are different words! I am also but a slave to the way my mouth works.
I will say, I appreciate that your immediate response isn't your fucking one to talk.
Do you want to fucking come to me? Do you want to step to me? You want to fucking talk to me?
You want to go?
You want to fucking talk to me about pronouncing words incorrectly? Let's not throw stones from the porch of our glass houses, okay?
Oh, my glass house is a porch? Fancy. Is it a wraparound?
Yeah, it's a really delightful little wraparound. Not screened in, unfortunately, because it is all glass. But I figured you just needed some place to throw a stone from. I figured you weren't going to throw it through the window of your own glass house.
Hey, I'm so sorry. That's what that metaphor means. That idiom about throwing stones in glass houses. I thought
then somebody throws a stone back at your house, and then your house breaks.
No. It's like, don't play soccer in an art museum. You're going to kick something over. Don't throw stones in a glass house. You'll break your house. That's it. You thought it was like because they'll retaliate and break your house. Is that what your head?
Because also it's fucking stupid. Because then when you throw a stone from your glass house, then everybody knows where your glass house is. And then somebody else has a stone
now. You thought it was an invisible glass house.
Not necessarily invisible, but I thought it would be. I just thought it's like, hey man, don't give somebody the ammunition to fuck your shit up. Don't throw stones from your glass house, because then you're just giving somebody else a stone.
No, it was about breaking your own house. Like, make sure your house is clean before criticizing somebody else. Like, oh, you're gonna say that? Like, don't throw stones in glass houses. You're gonna fuck your own shit up.
I like mine better where you are arming your enemy.
You know what? What else would arm our enemy?
Well, that was a rough one. That was a rough one.
I didn't start it as a theme song, but then I remembered that that's how we start our theme song. And then I was like, wait, shit.
You know what else would fucking blast the walls off our glass house? Our theme song.
Glass off.
Yeah, that's what I fucking said.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Wheels Up, the Criminal Minds podcast. My name, listeners, is James.
And I'm Bea, and this week we are talking Season 4, Episode 10, Brothers in Arms. This episode, directed by Glenn Kershaw and written by Holly Harold, which is just a fun name.
I give this episode, like, I don't know, like a 7? Like, it's good, it's like a fine episode, but like...
It's like
Yeah, it's fine. The Fight Club was a twist.
Legendary actor of the silver screen, Doug Jones, is here.
For one whole scene. Also, Lieutenant Evans is played by someone whose name I forgot. No, Pellegrino.
Mark Pellegrino, who was in one singular episode of Person of Interest. His wife both hired hitmen to kill the other one. And then they got locked in a room together and tied up and re-fell back in love, which I think is very sweet.
No, it's very sweet. He also played Lucifer in Supernatural.
Well, I prefer to not think about Supernatural.
Yeah, but I was like looking at him and I was like, who are you?
Who are you?
All right. This episode, what are you giving it? Gave it a 7.
I'm going to go with you. I'm going to give it maybe like a 6.
Yeah, I'll go down to a 6. A couple of notes before we get started. One, Emily's pants are so wide-legged. Sorry. Boop, 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 boop. Emily, off it a little.
Oh, we're back. We're back. We've got a little, ooh.
Boop, 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 boop. Her pants are stupidly wide-legged. I mean, distractingly wide-legged. Every time she walked, I was like, are you a clown? What is happening? Why are they so wide-legged? That's my question. Second thing is Reed's voice.
That man is sick this episode. Get this man some throat coat. Get him a cough drop.
Yes. And I think that's it for the top of the episode.
That's the big thing.
This episode, like, the ending felt like propaganda, but the rest of it kind of felt like anti?
This episode is weird because we must remember that a FBI agent and a cop were both always consulting on every single episode of Criminal Minds. We know that. That's just like in the credits.
Yeah.
So like it is always propaganda. This is like a weird episode though. This episode, compared to like some of the other high highs we've had in Season 4, What a bad time. What a bad episode compared to all the other stuff we have.
Yeah, I mean, they can't all be bangers. It's not what we keep saying.
Sure.
They can't all be bangers. But I don't know. This one was like fine. Like, it's fine. It's a good episode of Criminal Minds. I wouldn't be like upset. I wasn't upset to watch it.
Also a short episode of Criminal Minds.
Yeah, it did feel...
It was 4 minutes shorter than every other episode. It was only 40 minutes. It wasn't 44 or 46 like they usually are. So I wonder like what else was airing that meant they had to shorten this one up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it would just be like more commercial breaks. There must have been like a reason it was a little shorter.
There must have. It's just, it's strange. It's a weird episode. It's sort of like kind of all around a bummer. They're always running around at night.
That's a cop death.
There's the body count of this is crazy. This killer killed 7 people.
Yeah. No, I know.
Total.
We start off with 3 cops in 4 days, which is wild.
Crazy.
And then it's 1 a night after that. It's a lot. Okay, so let's get started. We're in Phoenix, Arizona. They're talking about a sports team. I didn't look it up. Sorry, I don't care about sports. And they're doing poorly, apparently. And then one cop suddenly speeds up. And he's like, all right, where are we? And you're like, oh, this is an experienced cop. And that's a newbie cop, right? And he's basically like, you always have to know where you are. Because, you know, you'll need to be able to tell backup. Because, you know... Your car is going to be here, so you have to be able to tell backup at any point, like, where you're going. You need to know your way, be able to find a way back to your car, all that kind of stuff. And the younger one calls him sir, and he's like, don't call me sir, we're partners. Which is cute and sad, tragic. And then a call comes in that there's a domestic violence incident. They're going to go to it because they're the closest. They get there, and like the first thing they see is like an abandoned house. I think it's actually like a complex, like an apartment complex, and that one just happens to be like empty.
Yeah, like the layout was kind of confusing. It was like they went on to like the like gravel roads between apartments so that people can go into like garages or like a back parking lot area.
Yeah, it was an interesting little area, I guess. But there's one that's empty. The number 12 is sprawled on a sign. We'll learn later that that's a gang in the area, 12. And that house, they're like squatting there, whatever. Anyway, the guy, the newbie forgets his flashlight in the car. And he like goes back. And the other car, like the other cop, here's the thing. Even if it's, you know, quote unquote, just a domestic violence incident, you shouldn't be going alone. Just like wait a second for your partner to get his flashlight and come back.
I know. I thought it was weird.
Like, why would you ever go alone? Maybe he was just going to go like find the house, I guess.
I guess.
But like, so, I don't know. The newbie sees his partner get shot and he calls for backup. And he like doesn't know where he is. He only knows like 13th Street. And it's like a immediate callback to the fourth veteran. He's like trying to get the big like rifle gun that they have in the car out, and he can't. And the unsub just walks right up and shoots the newbie, and you're like, that sucks ass. Okay. The guy, I would know that the guy like looks like a kid.
He's really short.
He's really like small.
He's a tiny little guy. The unsub is also, he only ever gets identified as the name Animal, and he's just played by like a stunt actor. Like, they didn't even, like, give him a name. He has no lines. They didn't even give him a name in the IMDb credits. He's just some guy.
They didn't even make him Animal in the credits?
They gave him Animal, but he was uncredited.
That's sad.
I know.
He's still there. He still did work.
I know.
I guess he's not union, so they don't have to cut to a press conference from the commander. He's, like, talking about how, like, everyone is scared, and there's so many cops are dying. Oh goodness!
Okay. Not the cops.
Not the cops.
Oh.
Great. press briefing. Three officers in 4 days. Not press briefing. Case briefing. Three officers in 4 days. So after the first shooting, they thought it was done by gangs, because Jordan says 30% of cops are killed in gang violence, but then Reed corrects that it's more like 40% are killed by gang violence. And, you know, the reason the commander reached out to the BAU, though, is because he thinks it's a serial killer, not a gang. All the cops in this precinct of Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, think that it is gang violence related. There's a lot of gangs there. They think it's gangs. The commander is like, I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't seem like a gang thing. I don't know. And they don't think it's a copycat because he was shot in the neck, which they didn't release that detail. Emily takes a moment to look Jordan up and down while she's in her cute little gray blazer. We love to see it.
We love to see it. I'm so glad that we went right into these two being at least a little bit fruity at the top of this episode. You know, like, I needed that.
There's a little bit at the end, too. You might not know it, but there's a little bit at the end, too. Okay. We learned that he's taking trophies. He's taking their police badges. And they're like, gang people, don't do that. But I feel like if this is some sort of like gang initiation, I feel like taking the badge to like show, hey, I did it, isn't like unheard of.
Yeah. I think the other thing, though, is like they know it's also only one person. And usually they say like gang people, like traveling groups.
Yeah, but my thought was just that it was like an initiation. Oh, you want to join in the gang? Go kill a cop and bring me their badge. Like, I feel like that's not like an unreasonable thing. You know? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Cut to a guy driving. He's like at the police precinct, like driving through the parking lot.
He just sort of is cruising. He's kind of cruising. And must I say, bold.
It's so funny. And everyone's like staring at him. Can I tell you my theory of who the unsub was for like most of the episode?
Yeah.
Evans.
Really? That would have been wild.
Yeah, well, he was like so anti. And every time they were like, they would say something, it would like cut to him looking like sus. And then the way he was like really pushing that it was Playboy made me feel like it was like a distraction, you know? And yeah, I really.
I think that would have made it certainly a more interesting episode if it was Evans.
It absolutely would have been. Like, I kept waiting. Like, the whole thing with it when Diablo shoots the cop, I was like waiting for Evans to like look surprised. I don't know. That's what I was waiting for. But I don't know.
I think that would have been a much more interesting episode.
You know, that it's like cop killer. But then I guess you'd have to have a cop do something bad for real.
They can't do that. They can't do that.
Cops can't do the whole bad.
They can't do that.
I posed the question to myself on the show, how is Derek going to respond to this?
Derek is going to respond to all these cop killings by quoting fucking Ayn Rand. Like, my guy? Again. My guy.
What? Who keeps letting this person choose Ayn Rand quotes?
What's going on? Why is she here?
Also, why are you ending with a Shakespeare quote? End with some sort of great American author. Like, what?
It's the fact that they began with Ayn Rand and ended with Shakespeare. It's like, oh, so you guys really just like didn't want to choose quotes for this one.
I truly feel like they just like Google like quotes about
vengeance. Brother. Yeah.
Quotes about war. You know, they just like pick one. And I'm like, this is not.
Those fucking like Spark Notes lists of like 100 of the best quotes about X.
Yeah. Yeah. Or fucking, I'm thinking like fucking quotes.com. Okay, guys, we wrote the script. Pick like 3 words that represent the theme. Yeah. Quotes.com, like, hate them.
Quotes.com bestie. Like, it's crazy. Ayn Rand also, like, what about this episode screams objectivism to anybody?
I don't understand.
What about it? The bitch who wrote Atlas Shrugged, you're like, yeah, I want her to be representative of the state of mind of our agents as they are going to do a public good. Like, come on, my guy? Ayn Rand? Atlas Shrugged, bitch? Like, come on. The radical self-interest? Come on. Girl.
I mean, she does always, like, she's, like, anti-welfare, like, anti-every man. She's very, like, every man for himself.
It's the self-interest. Like, sorry, I played BioShock at the age of 16 and it irreparably totally changed me because that's all about objectivism. The whole fucking thing is Atlas Falls the game. But Ayn Rand also did not like cops. It's Ayn Rand is very confusing what she liked and didn't like. She was like, no religion, yes capitalism, and that was sort of her whole deal.
What if Ayn Rand was like, I'm gonna be the first person to use rage bait to get rich?
She is like, she's crazy, by the way. She was like supporting abortion, but then opposing the Vietnam War. And she was like opposed to the military draft. But then she was like, people who dodge the draft are dumb idiots. Like, girl, what are you doing? Girl, what are you doing? She was really out here just like shooting in a bunch of different directions. And a bunch of people thought that she was like the next great American thinker. Like, no, motherfucker. She's just a capitalist.
She's just like a bitch, kind of, actually.
She's just kind of a cunt. And you can tell Ayn Rand I said that.
You can dig her up reanimate her and tell her that James and B said she's a cunt.
Her fucking, her gravesite, one of her like original gravesites had a gigantic dollar sign on it. Her funeral included a 6-foot floral arrangement in the shape of a dollar sign. Imagine dying and people's like thing about you that they remember most and that they want to honor at your funeral, your beautiful funeral dedicated to your memory, surrounded by people who love you. They're like, this motherfucker? 6-foot dollar sign. Like, come on. She's a cunt and objectivists are fucking idiots. And I don't know why Derek quotes Ayn Rand.
And Derek?
And also, her quote is, makes no sense. She's like, we're all brothers under the skin. Bitch, no, you're not. Your whole thing is radical self-interest. Your whole thing is that you don't like anybody else. Girl. Yeah,
I
don't like
helping people. Here's what I think. I think that the movie Fight Club, I feel like Tyler Durden's whole thing is kind of that radical self-interest. Like, at the same time he's like creating a brotherhood, it really is like all about him in the end and getting power. So maybe they were I'm trying to make it make sense.
Then make a Fight Club reference. Then reference one of the guy who wrote Fight Clubs. Like, quote him. Quote him, do it, quote one of his other books. And then people could feel really smart when they're like, hey, that's the guy from Fight Club. That's the guy who wrote Fight Club. Like, come on. Hey, instead, you're fucking quoting Ayn goddamn Fountainhead Rand. Come on. She's a cunt. She's a cunt and her philosophy sucks.
She's a cunt derogatory.
I played Bioshock when I was, like, what, 16 or 17? And since then, I have had a deep-seated hatred for objectivists. Just a truly, just like, in my soul, I'd look at a motherfucker who only serves themselves or the interest of capital, and I go, you're the dumbest motherfucker alive. Deep in my soul.
Okay, Garcia's on this little funky little speaker and not her computer.
I love that they were like, we can't record this, so we do just need to do this in voiceover later. So we do just need to get a shot of the speakerphone.
Yeah, they were like, we used our computer screen budget. Like, what? Yeah. Okay. Every Saturday night, the cops set up a DUI checkpoint. It's well known. That's part of the deterrence. The unsub blew through it at 90 miles an hour. The cop went over, pulled him over, and then was shot in the throat. Okay, Garcia keeps, like, speaking French. She's like, c'est moi. And then she says something here, and it's like, mon ami. And I was like, why are we, French.
She's just sort of, she's, you don't see it actually, but on her other screen, she's doing Duolingo, actually.
Did we already watch the episode where she's like trying to learn like Italian with Kevin?
Yes.
And it's all like dirty things. Okay, yeah. The cop that died was a single parent with two daughters, and Derek is like looking at the pictures of the kids and like clearly very sad. So I was like, oh, good. They're going to address it. Because like, how could you go? How could you do a cop killing episode without bringing up Derek's dead cop father? Like,
you can't.
I would have been mad.
Also, Glenn Kershaw, by the way, who directed this episode, also directed Profiler Profiled.
God bless. Derek man.
This man directs Derek. That's what he does. Glenn Kershaw directs a lot of Criminal Minds. All right.
Okay. Emily suggests that maybe the guy was going after these specific cops, which I don't think would... I mean, I guess if they have, like, a route, they would know that, like, they'd be in a certain area at a certain time to put in a call. So maybe that's why. Or they have a problem with, like, cops as an institution and reads, like, criminals, gangs, academy washouts, teenagers, rent-a-cops. Lots of people hate officers.
Reed, you are also the police.
Reed, remember when Reed was like, I'm not the government.
It's like, yeah.
Do you not work for the Federal Bureau of Investigation? Anyway, everyone was shot in the neck. So, like, the unsub knew they'd be wearing chest armor, and they knew about the checkpoint. So, like, they clearly went out of their way to go after a cop. We know they were targeting cops. But, like, everyone can watch TV and know that police wear chest armor, blah, 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 blah. Fair enough. And then Garcia says that it's been super hard to get the files because the cops don't want to help. They're not happy that the commander like outsourced to the FBI. And Garcia says, prepare to meet a blue wall of resistance.
Motherfucker, you are the blue wall. Girl. It pisses me off when they do these episodes.
Yeah, like you're not also, you're not just fancy cops.
You are also the cops. You're cops with college degrees.
Yeah. Then we cut to the precinct. There are reporters outside. I was like, we need JJ. Where's
JJ? We need JJ.
Like, we need JJ.
Okay. Send up the bat signal. We need her. We need JJ so bad.
Bring her back. She can bring the baby.
Just have him in a little baby Bjorn as she's talking about gruesome cop killing.
She's like, don't worry, he's listening to Beethoven.
His little headphones on.
She's like, don't worry about it.
Beethoven and then also Mozart. Don't worry about it.
Oh man. That's hilarious. The commander is talking to them all, and he's like, but Hotch, I need to talk to you specifically. And then he shows up, and he's like, Lieutenant Evans, come here. And Lieutenant Evans does not look happy. He's actually talking to the most recent dead officer's wife, which is tragic. But he's just, like, not happy. And then he shows up, and he's like, hey, you know, she thinks you're here to save the day. Is that what you're going to do? Save the day. And the BAU is like, I mean, yeah, I guess so. Like, that is, I mean, yeah, we're gonna catch the guy. Hilarious. Great. In the office, the commander is talking to Hotch, and he's like, look, I'm sorry. I really thought it was a serial killer, but we have two different guns now. They never really, like, explain this.
Does he just get a new gun every time?
No, it's not every time. So he's been using a 357 Magnum, but like the first killing, there was one killing that was with a different gun, which doesn't make sense later because he killed the bouncer with a 357 Magnum. So it's like for one killing, he used a different gun. It doesn't, I don't know. I think they just put this in here because they needed a reason to like put doubt that it was a serial killer, but it kind of never comes up again.
It sort of never comes to fruition at all with anything. Yeah. I also, this fucking commander is so fucking annoying. It's like, motherfucker, you're the one who called them. Like, make a decision and stick to it.
I'm just like, stand up to your team. Like, you've made this choice.
Fucking live with it.
Like, deal with it.
God. Yeah. It's just so annoying.
I like hate when the commander who called them is all of a sudden like, actually, fuck you guys.
Actually, in VM. Never mind, actually.
Actually, go home. You guys suck. And I know you already... always like, you called me. I don't...
You called me.
I'm also, like, because of you.
Also, like, they flew, like, what? 6-7 hours to get there? 6 hours?
Yeah, probably.
Across two time zones? Yeah, 5 or 6. Half the country and then down? Yeah, like...
Yeah, like 5 or 6, bro. Sure.
Bro.
Come on. Don't just send them back. It's so weird.
It's so annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, you know, the commander's like, all my cops think it's gang-related. Now I do too, because there's two different guns. And Hotch is like, no. It's one person. It's organized, the trophies, all of that. Like, this is one guy. And we have to settle this fast, you know, because he's killing so quickly. And the commander's like, we also have to settle it fast before the precinct comes unglued. And Hotch goes, look, I get it. Like, I understand why they think it's gang fighting. I understand why they don't want to, you know, face this or whatever. But more people are going to die if you don't listen to us and work with us. Sorry.
Also, like... this whole precinct's gonna come unglued. Okay, so you're bad at your job, is what I'm hearing. You're bad at your job as being the commander of this precinct.
Yeah. Like, I truly don't understand. Yeah. I don't know. Okay. Emily, Derek, and Lieutenant Evans are at the last scene, the one that we saw. And, you know, Evans is like, why do you even need me here? And Emily tells him, like, hey, you know this city. You know the gangs. Like, that's very helpful, you know? And, you know, Evans is like, thanks. So there's a gang called 12. Playboy is the leader. His lieutenant died. And after that, Barbecue. Barbecue is the lieutenant. I love that his name is Barbecue.
Bobby Q. It sounded so much like you just said barbecue, and I was like, hell yeah, let's get some meat up in this bitch.
Let me finish my fucking sentence. I love that his name is Bobby Q because it sounds so much like barbecue.
It's so funny. This man is named for
meat. His name's Robert Quinones, but everyone calls him Bobby Q.
But also, if you have a name like Robert Quinones, yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, you can be nicknamed Barbecue. That's fine. I understand you, my guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Playboy vowed to kill them all after his lieutenant died, Barbecue. So, like, maybe him. So then we see that the dash cam on the car only showed one killer, you know? And they're like, you know, that most... They keep calling gang members bangers, which I know is short for gangbangers, but, like, What?
Why are we calling them bangers?
Why are we calling them bangers?
Why are we doing that?
It's a fucking banger, dude.
They're like people.
They're like human people.
They're like human people with a job. It's illegal, sure, but like they also just like have a job.
There are social, racial, class-based reasons for people to be in gangs. They're not just like born lesser than, so there are gang bang. Like, what are you talking? Why are we calling them bangers? Okay.
But also, man, they must make some banger music.
Banger music. Some real bangers. So the question became, why? Well, one, Playboy is the most bangers. Playboy is the most bangers. He could do this different, I guess, by himself. Cool. When we meet Playboy, they've, like, talked him up so much, and then he's just, like, a guy.
He's just some dude.
Yeah, it's really funny. So the other question was, why show the face of the killer? Like, the video they got wasn't clear enough to ID, but he did, like, walk towards the car. And, you know, Emily and Derek point out that the cops had split up, you know? He had to go after one and then the other. And Evans is like, so you're saying my partner's made a mistake? And they're like, no, we're saying the unsub had to change his plans a little bit. Like,
they have to talk this man down like he's a petulant toddler. Like, they have to, like, so nicely be like, I know it's nap time and I know you're not tired, but you do have to just lay here quietly while everybody else is asleep. Like, they have to talk this man down.
And that's one of the reasons that I think I thought he was the unsub. Because, like, they say later that he goes from nice to angry in, like, a split second. And, like, the way they're having to deal with this guy, like, feels like that, you know?
No, I see it. I get your point.
Yeah. There's just, like, a lot. I don't know. Okay. Jordan, in one of her three scenes in this episode, is talking with the commander. And is like, we don't just need his face. We can also identify him with behavioral traits. Like a signature. You know, it's something they go out of their way to do, something that's not necessary, but it's going to be identical in every case. That's a signature. And they say that his signature is taking the badges. He's stripping them of their authority and of their power, you know, and that helps him feel confident. And, you know, gangs and groups don't kill to gain confidence. They already have it. They're in a group. And then Reed's like, hey, what's that? And we realize that the guy is lingering over the body, not just taking the badges. Like, it would take 3 seconds to just, like, pull the badge off the chain. Instead, the guy's, like, kneeling there, doing something. We don't know what it is. Emily says, you know, it's good that now the Force knows about this. It'll be harder to lure them. And Derek's like, no, it won't be, because they still have to take calls. We can't just not take 911 calls, right? And so, like, every time they go somewhere, they have to know there's the potential for an ambush, which is like, uh-oh. Cut to nighttime. Whoa-oh. It's nighttime. The cops roll up, answering a call. They find, like, a lot that's got, like, a gate, but then an open section. And they see a car that's, like, burnt out, right? And they see movement. This confused me. Again, they're in this dark lot. They know what's been going on. They see somebody moving around. And the cop is just like, that's a couple of bums. Like, not on high alert?
They really don't seem that high alert. They really don't. And then they split up again. And I understand they needed to because the guy set the mannequin on fire. So they thought somebody was being set on fire. And so one of them ran back to the car for the fire extinguisher. And the other ran forward to try and like put the person out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they switched. The guy with the fire extinguisher like.
And then they split up again.
Yeah. When the guy with the fire extinguisher comes. The other guy is like, okay, bye, and just leaves.
Like an ounce of situational awareness, gentlemen.
The guy's like, we're scared. We're all scared. And I'm like, you don't fucking act like
that. You don't act like you're terrified.
It's crazy to me. I don't know. It's just so, so, so bad. Don't cops only get like 6 months of training?
Yeah, I think so. They're dumb as hell. You can tell them all I said that.
You can tell them I said that. Okay. So the one cop goes to put out the person that's on fire, and the other cop goes to get the fire extinguisher out of the car. Then the cop with the fire extinguisher puts out the fire, and the first cop goes running after the guy alone. Bruh, don't split up. What the fuck?
Literally, like, can we use, like, the basics of Scooby-Doo logic?
Like, literally Scooby-Doo. I don't understand at all. Okay. The person on fire, not a person. It's a mannequin, aka a trap. And the cop goes, son of a bitch. Yeah, dude. You've been dumb.
Yeah.
So he starts yelling for his partner. And the partner's like, can't find the guy. And then he like looks up at this like ladder. And he's like, did he go up there? Boom, shot in the neck. And the other guy like calls it in. But then starts going towards the noise. And the guy, get it. Like, you gotta go check on your partner. But, like, boo, you're gonna die. He doesn't, but it's close. So the guy shoots, he misses. He shoots again, he misses. And then the shot cop was shot in his neck and dies. And I wrote, it's supposed to be sad, but, like, you guys were real stupid about this.
We are perhaps too anti-cop for this episode to work on us, I think.
Well, not just that, but like, we know the story, you know, it's like if we have genre awareness. Okay, everyone arrives at the scene. The partner that survived is crying and Derek goes over to him, you know, and the guy is like, we knew this was happening. We still managed to get set up. And I was like, yeah, you just acted stupid. Sorry.
You guys didn't really try very hard to not make this happen, actually.
And then Evan says, well, we all know Playboy did it.
Do we, Evans?
Dirk goes, do we? And that's why I was like, Evans is really pushing this, like, Playboy thing. And he's trying to convince all of the other people to say that it's Playboy. Like, he's trying to be like, right. Does that make sense? So I was like, I think Evans did this, and he's trying to pin it on Playboy.
Which is, would have been a more interesting episode, again.
I thought so, and it reminded me of Broken Mirror, you know, where it was like the security agent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then Derek is like, oh, Derek finally is like, look, I get it. I was a uniformed cop. My dad was a uniformed cop. He got shot. I watched it happen. I get it. I get where you guys are coming from. And so then he asks the partner directly, like, what happened? And the partner says, you know, we were additional cops. This isn't our beat. We were just out for the night because of how many people we were scared, you know. And he didn't get a look at the guy. And he's like, I was scared and I'm still scared. And, you know, he gets the his partner's hat. And when he flips it over, there's a picture of his wife and kid, like, taped on the inside. And it's tragic. Didn't do a lot of good, but it's nice that they were there. Okay.
Cute place to store a picture of your wife and kid.
No, yeah.
If you got one of those little brims on your hat, yeah, that's cute.
Do it. Yeah. And so Derek is like, we're going to catch this guy. And Evans, like, looks at him all sharp, you know. And I was like, yeah, you, Evans. And Derek is like, but we're going to catch the right guy. And you're like, uh-oh.
Your Criminal Minds rewrite is just, is so much better than the actual show. Like, Evans as the killer would slap. Let's not lie.
This podcast is just like, here's how I would make this episode better.
That's what we do here.
I know. Not to say they're all bad. Let me put my hands on it.
Let me just get my fingers all up in those guts. Let me get those story guts. Thank you.
Let me get my grubby little hands in there. Let me get my hands.
Let me just get my little fingers in there. Let me get my little fingies up in there.
My little goblin fingies. Okay. Derek goes back to Emily and Rossi and Hotch and is like, these cops are picked at random. Like, it's not about who the cops are. Forget about cross-referencing it. And, you know, it's interesting because every kill is getting more and more complex. Like, the scenarios are getting more intricate. The rituals are intricate. And the press shows up. And Hot is like, oh, great, the press. Where's JJ when you need her? And Rossi's like, the press isn't the only problem. And then he looks at the cops. And all the cops are like,
blah, blah, gathered blah, around blah, Evans. Blah,
blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Planning a coup. And they're like, they're gonna go for Playboy soon. The next day, Playboy gets arrested. So true.
It's very, it feels very like Arrested Development-y. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was a comedy moment. Sometimes the show has comedy.
Sometimes the show is like, let's be a comedy. For just a little bit.
For just like two shots. Okay, it's the next day. Playboy's getting arrested. They take him to the precinct and Hotch is like, whoa, what are you doing? The commander's like, we brought in a viable suspect for questioning. You can't say he's not worth questioning him. And Hotch is like, I can and I do. This is so stupid.
This is a waste of fucking time.
Yeah. And then the guy's like, the guy goes, I didn't kill no cop, period. And I was
say
like,
that with your chest thing.
No cap.
Say that.
I didn't kill no cop. Period. Hodge, Rossi, Reed, and Derek. Okay, sorry. Was Emily a little, like, vacant in this episode to you? Like, she's there, but there's, like...
Emily, like, isn't there a whole lot. I think they should have given her shit, some of Reed's shit to her, because he obviously was sick. Like, let Matthew Gray Goobler go home.
Let him go home. No, it's weird. It's like she hardly has, she's there. She has lines, but not a lot. She doesn't play like a big part. And like, I know this is an ensemble cast and not everyone has to have a big part all the time, but this episode just felt really like, it felt really lackluster in terms of the BAU. Like there wasn't a lot.
Yeah, it's there. A lot of like Derek and this dude.
I wonder if like those missing 4 minutes would have been like BAU moments. I just mean that like, there's a lot happening in this episode. Like time just keeps moving forward. And there's not a lot of, like, talking like we usually get. You know? It felt very just like, we need to put an episode out there. Give him a case. Great, we're done. It felt very like that.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Hotch, Rossi, Reed, Derek, and the commander are talking. I wrote, little boys are fighting. And Reed is like, it's bad that we arrested him because it's going to draw attention away from the real killer. And it could make him angry and make him kill again sooner. And Rossi's like, and if this is, you know, gang related, taking the leader is going to piss them off, which it does.
Shocking how that works.
Wrong. Yeah. Okay. Derek is like, wait, we could use this guy, like get information from him. You know, I'm going to talk to him. And Hotch is like, the real killer is still out there. Great. Derek goes into the room and is like, hey, I know you didn't kill the cops. And the guy's like, okay, then let me go. And Derek's like, no, I said, I know. They don't know. Blah, blah, blah. And then Derek plays a really good game here where he's like, if this isn't one of your guys, it's making you look weak. I thought you ran the streets and now there's this other guy out here killing cops. Like, that's really embarrassing. Like, I would want him gone if I were you. And Playboy's like, yeah, I do want him gone.
I like the game Derek plays here. He's smart. He's playing it really smart. And this other cop is stupid as shit. But like Derek is playing this shit. He's playing like 4D chess.
He is. And I think also, like, the fact that he grew up, you know, quote unquote, on the streets in Chicago, like, he knew, what was that guy's name? Rodney? Like, he knew gang people. And his dad.
He sort of knows how to play the game. Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of has both sides to it. So he's like, I got this. I'm going to play down this guy's ego as like a gang leader while at the same time having the authority of a cop who knows he didn't do it. And it completely works, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy asks, like, hey, like, what does this guy look like? What should I be looking for? And Derek goes, okay, he looks normal, but he goes from cold to hot super fast. He would look for a fight even though he knows he's going to lose. You know, yeah, sure, he's stupid, but he's aggressive. He's white. He's slightly older, and he works alone. And then Playboy like, looks at the cop, and Evans is, like, glaring at him. And I was like, oh. Playboy's like, it's him. It's Evans. And Evans is like, you fucking say something, and I'll kill you. I don't think a whole different episode over here, by the way.
Your episode is so much more intricate and fascinating. That is not the episode that we are watching. But I like your episode so much more.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I look forward to this part of your Criminal Minds fanfic rewrite where you actually go in depth on this case just because you want it to be a different case. This is my wish fulfillment right now.
Did you ever actually like read that?
I have not, no. I will. It's on my list. Please. It's on my mark for later list. I will get to it eventually.
I was like, can you read this so you can like I can talk to you about it? It's only 200,000 words, B.
And I only moved a week ago. I don't have anything else going on.
I gave you that link way before you moved. Don't even try it. That's funny. Okay. So where the fuck was I? Right. I'm watching a different episode. My legs were swept out from under me. I expected, because you had mentioned the Fight Club thing, I expected like Evans to go to the Fight Club and the people at the Fight Club be like, you mean him?
And you mean that guy?
You mean him? Animal? And how that guy, like, all of a sudden, he's gone. Where'd he go? Like, I thought that's what was going to happen. And then we were going to have, like, a cop chase. I was so hyped. No, it's just some fucking twink dude.
It's just some guy.
It's just some guy.
That man does not, Animal does not deserve to be called a twink. He has not earned that. No, don't give him stolen valor.
Stolen twink valor.
Stolen twink valor.
God. Name of my sex tape. Okay. Oh, and then, you know, Evans mentions, like, my lieutenant got killed, and he shows the tattoo, Bobby Q, and, like, he was, like, a brother to me. And then Evans says, well, that makes sense, since both your brother and Bobby Q were stupid drug addicts. Like, hello?
Like, unnecessary roughness. Flag on the play! They're in both my- dead!
In my episode that I was watching, it's like Derek describes the unsub. Playboy's like, oh shit, it's him. And then Evans is like, I need to cover. Your brother was a stupid fucking drug addict. And then Playboy gets all angry and like, that's good because that makes him seem dead. I was watching a different episode of the show, okay?
You were fully in a different episode. Bangs, but...
Banger, but...
In this episode, this is just fucking flag on the goddamn play from Evans.
Oh, yeah. And then Playboy's like, I don't know who this guy was. If I knew his name, he'd be fucking dead already. And then Hoskins
says,
get his fucking ass killed. I mean, don't. I mean, whatever. You get it. Hotch comes in and is like, Derek Evans, can we talk? And there's been another shooting. I said, okay, I fucking called that this was not the guy. Because, you know, Rossi said earlier, if, you know, this is a gang leader that you arrested, the gang's going to retaliate. Right? So there's a killing. Yeah. And also, it's the middle of the fucking day. Duh. Okay. But we're not going to let Playboy go because he knows something. Right. So,
the way you said he knows something, like you're like he knows something. This little guy, he knows something good. He's very Rossi's very Italian now for some reason. This guy knows something.
This guy.
This fucking jabroni knows something.
This guy, this street guy, he knows. Okay, Jake and Rossi are saying the book on Playboy. Emily and Hotch are going to the scene. The Ansep is cornered in like a second story apartment. His name's Diablo. He's the part of the Lindo Park Assassins. He's a gangbanger. But what's weird though, so I saw this with my eyes. The cop was shot in the chest. He's like on there, like on the stretcher, like holding his chest. I was like, that's not the neck. This is not the guy.
Yeah.
Whatever. They don't get the fest. Emily and Hotch are like, we're going to go talk to the cop. So they like crawled, they like bend over and like creep over there. And the cop is like, yeah, me and my partner were just like sitting in the car. And then he came up and he shot my partner in the head and then me in the chest. And, you know, blah, 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 blah. The truck came by and he ran. And Emily's like, wait, he didn't call you? They reel the guy away. And Emily and Hotch are like, this was a blitz attack. This was not right. So Hotch is like, let me go talk to him. But two SWAT guys are already in the apartment. The commander's like, they're attempting to apprehend him. He comes flying out the window.
They're attempting to apprehend. Smash cut. This man boom. Fucking soaring.
This episode is funny.
A comedy. It's a comedy.
So funny. So funny. All right. Next. Oh, this is why I wrote Emily's pants are so wide.
She has perhaps the widest pants in the West.
They're so stupid.
They're so, like, at that point, like, what, like, purpose do they serve when they're that wide?
Like, she could put her, like, leg out straight and they would hang down a solid, like, 7 or 8 inches. Like, are you joking?
Like, anyway, what is the point of those pants?
You're just gonna get tripped on. You're just gonna get tripped on yourself. Get caught in a bush. Like, come on. Anyway, it's not the answer. Derek calls and is like, hey, Bobby Q was shot in the neck with a similar gun to the ones with the police. And then Derek goes, what's going on over there? And Hotch goes, nothing good. And the reporters arrive and the cops are talking. And I said, they need JJ. Bring her back. And then I was like, where's Jordan?
Where is she?
Like, she's there. She went with them. Like, where? Girl. Is this not your job? Okay. Hotch calls Penelope and is like, get me info on Diablo. And she's like, right away. And then Hotch talks to the commander. This guy doesn't fit the profile. And then the commander is like, well, I have a lot of departmental pressure. The mayor's here. Other people are here. The chief's here. I gotta say it. Hotch says, you know, this unsub, like, he thinks he's a big shot now. He's gonna keep killing. Like, give me 24 hours. And the commander says, you have 4 hours to catch him. This time limit does not come back up.
Truly never again. Because they don't catch him until, like, much later in the evening when it's dark.
It's like smash cut to nighttime. So, like, the 4 hours for stuff. I think it was 4 hours until the commander's going to announce to everybody that they caught the guy. Which makes sense, because then Hotch has to, like, you know, take it back. But, like, that does not get shown to us, you know, so I'm kind of making... Yeah, I'm kind of making assumptions there. We're back at the precinct. Derek goes to Evans and is like, can I have Bobby Q's file? And Evans is like, what is your problem? Like, we caught the guy. You made a mistake. I made a mistake. We all make mistakes. Like, it's okay that you were wrong. Like, we can move on from this. And Derek is like, thank you. I'm not wrong. So, am I going to have that file?
The way Evan says this is he's, like, so, like, falsely magnanimous. Like, he's like, hey, you know, what happens to the best of us. I was an asshole. You were wrong and an asshole. Yeah. Like, these are even things. And it's like, no. They are not.
Then Derek is just like, look, here's the thing. Okay? You can give me the file and it's not him and you can tell me you told me so. Or you don't help me, and another cop dies, and you have to live with the fact that you let another cop die. And the guy is just like, well, when you put it like that.
Yeah.
I will say, like, Evans could have been like, you know what, fuck you. But instead he was like, fine, better safe than sorry. And I appreciate that. I can appreciate that. This is when I started to think it wasn't Evans.
This, at like minute 35 of a 40 minute episode, you were like, maybe it's not this guy. Maybe it's somebody else. I don't know.
Am I wrong that it has seemed like him for most of this episode?
No, and you're putting on a very convincing argument for the fact that it should have been him.
It should have been him. But this point when he's like, fine, yeah, okay, you're right. I was like, no, if he was the guy, this would have been like a snapping moment to be like, shut the fuck up, we caught him, you know? But it wasn't, so I was like, okay, fine, boring. Great.
Boring episode.
Boring. It could have been so cool. Now I'm like, oh, I was just doing that thing where I build my own cake, right? Okay. The preliminary came back from the ME that one of the cop's deaths wasn't a 357. Oh, that the cop that got shot in the car, it wasn't a 357. And so they say that, you know, they get the info about Diablo and he just got out of jail. And they think that he killed that cop to get revenge, but also hoping it would be like lumped in with the other killings, which like makes sense. You know, Evan comes back with info on Bobby Q. It's not a big file. And when they're like, hey, this isn't a big file, he's like, most of the killings around here are gang killings. Like, we just assumed that it was that. You know, we did everything we could. And Emily's like, did you, though?
They're all like, so do you not care about any of the gang killings here? So, like,
you just, like,
what are the killings? You just sort of, like, let that case file lie? Like, what were you doing? Was there a big football game that night? Like, what's up?
Yeah, and then Evan's like, hey, look, being in a gang lowers your life expectancy. Like, you've got to expect that, you know, you could probably die. And then Reed is like, yeah, so does being a cop. You kind of put yourself in dangerous situations. And Emily does make this, like,
ooh. It's like, ooh, he's not wrong, but he's not wrong.
But then you find out Bobby Q's gold chain, he had this, like, big, thick gold chain, was taken from him. And they're like, that's it. Like, that makes it part of this pattern. So Hodge is like, Penelope, or Garcia, search back 3 months in all of Phoenix, see if there are any killings like Bobby Q. Yes, there's one. A bouncer at a bar, which was called the Escándalo, which I did enjoy.
This bar is so...
Escándalo.
I love the like location they got for this bar, because it is just like every other fucking shitty dive bar
I've ever seen. It's like a dive bar in a strip mall. Like, of course it is.
Of course it is.
On the side of a highway.
It's like 3 blocks from my house. Yeah, I get it. I know. Yeah. I've been there.
Went to those all the time in college. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. This bouncer was killed with a 357. And so, like, okay, why did we think there were two guns? Whatever. The victim, though, the bouncer, was wearing a vest, which is probably how the unsub developed his MO. Penelope sends over the information. And they're like, bangers, bouncers, and cops. All of these are people who could defend themselves. They're all like authority-type positions. And they're like, you know, like big, big, tough guys. And, you know, as the guy's confidence grows, he goes from bouncers to bangers to cops. And, you know, the gun makes him feel powerful because he has this big old gun. Magnum. And then cops make headlines. So not only is his confidence growing, but now he's in the newspaper. And, you know, it's also different because, like, his first victim, the bouncer, was all alone, and then bangers were like a good next step because they're always in packs, they're always armed. But then, like, cops are like trained killers. I would argue that, like, people in gangs are also trained, but not in the same way.
Yeah.
Not officially. You don't get like a certificate being in a gang. Unless you do. I don't know. Not in a gang. Okay. Rossi, Derek, and Evans go to the Escándalo. And the bartender or owner guy is like, you know, the bouncer's a hard ass. Like, tough as nails. you know, and Rossi's like, look at this picture, though. Like, he got shot, but he had all these bruises. Like, you know, who could have beat him up like that? And the owner's like, oh, he didn't get those here. He's in some weirdo fight club.
Literally, he's like, yeah, he's into some fucking weird ass shit. Let's be so real. Yeah.
He's literally like an extreme fight club. And Ross is like, a fight club? That's a good place to get your ass beaten, grow some insecurities. Now we gotta go fight this fight. Oh, they asked him, like, do you know where this fight club is? And he's like, oh yeah, here's the address. But he's like, you gotta make a fight club if, like, everyone knows
about the fight club,
where you are. Right. And they even make the joke later, like, you're not supposed to talk about it, you know, don't talk about it. I'm like, they found you, though. They're there, so they yeah. did at some point.
Yeah
anyway,
rip.
Yeah, and they're like, getting beaten up could be a stressor. Okay, if he goes there to prove himself and he just gets his shit kicked out of him, like, that'll do it. Great, we're at the fight club. Doug Jones.
We're at the Fight Club. Legend of the silver screen, Doug Jones. Doug Jones, my beloved. I love that we see more of Doug Jones this episode, who is literally here for this one scene, than we ever see of the unsub. Doug Jones has more screen time than the unsub in this episode. Legend Doug Jones, by the way. If you don't know who Doug Jones is, by the way, he's like every monster in a major movie in the last 10 years. Like, he's the pale guy from Pan's Labyrinth with the hands. He's the fish guy from The Shape of Water. He's in so many episodes of Star Trek. He's like the Bye-Bye Man from that awful movie. He's like, if you've ever seen a weird creature moving strangely on screen and he's like gangly and has like some limbs on him, that's probably Doug Jones. Doug Jones is a fucking legend and I love him so much. Legend of the silver screen, Doug Jones is here as like a weaselly little fight club guy.
I'm not gonna lie, he's kind of hot.
He's a little, if you're into weaselly white dudes, he's kind of, you know?
I'm like, but it's like he's got that like muscle, like that wiry muscle,
because he's like a contortionist, so he yeah. like he's that strong. Man contorts.
That contortionist does contort.
That contortionist, you'll never guess what he does.
Contorts.
Contorts.
Contorts. Okay. Stupid. Okay, they're there. I wrote just guys being dudes.
Just guys being, what's better than this? Just what's guys being this? Dudes.
Just guys being dudes.
What's better than this?
I wrote Doug Jones is like watching these guys get beat up and he's like turned on by it.
He's weirdly horny about this whole thing. And honestly, kind of ideal, actually. If you're going to be in a fight club, you should at least be weirdly horny and homoerotic about it. This man definitely has a choking fetish. Like, he is like a thing. And like, I get it.
For sure. They're beating him up and Doug Jones looks real turned on and then like, boom, FBI raid on the ground. Get on the ground. Put your hands up. And Doug Jones is like, we're not breaking any laws. And Emily goes, I think he's letting us know that they have the right to be idiots.
Real. Queen.
Yeah.
Get so them. True. Get the asses. Get them. Get the
I love
Get them again.
Like, she's still holding that 52 pickup energy. She's like, fuck, I hate men. Like, can you imagine? Like, so Viper happens. She's like, God, men suck. And then she's like warming up to it again. And then she walks into like a literal fight club. And she's like, actually? No, I do only like women. No, for sure. For sure.
Actually, Jordan, like, are you free when we get back? Are you free this evening?
I need to like take a bath. You can beat me up if you want. Or. Okay, but then she's like, they have the right to be idiots, and Evans goes, not here they don't. The warehouse is owned by the city.
Which you would think they would be more careful about that.
I love the idea that they just picked like a random warehouse. Like, this is not like I own like a trucking company or I like manufacture something. This is my warehouse. They were just like, that one's closed at night. Like,
and like, this one has cool, like, the interior aesthetics really slap. It really lends to like a grungy vibe that we're sort of shooting for. Like, what do you think their like interior design qualifications had to be?
Say that again?
What were they looking for, like, in the interior design to, like, make this their warehouse? You know, like, what were the, like,
the characters,
interior
the characters.
Design? Like, what were they looking for to be like, what if?
I think it had to be
natural lighting. They wanted,
natural, obviously. I think that place, it looked like the Fight Club from the movie. I think they were like, this one looks like the Fight Club from the movie.
they saw an inside warehouse and they were like, guys, what if we hang on?
Hold on.
A Fight Club. Crazy idea.
Considered this before, but.
Crazy idea, but what if?
Crazy idea, but what if? Okay. Sorry, it's just fucking funny. Great. Everyone is on the ground but Doug Jones. Sorry, Beanie.
Beanie?
It's not even wearing a Beanie.
They call him Fight Club Captain in the.
Do they really?
Beanie, parentheses, Fight Club Captain. Like, he got fucking, like, his teammates voted. All voted. They were like, that's our guy, Beanie.
This is our union rep.
This is our union rep, Beanie.
Stupid. Yeah. So they're like, we can either, like, arrest you or you can talk to us. And Doug is like, fine, then, like, ask a question. So the bouncer is called Boom. Big tough guy named Boom. Sure. And then they're like, we're looking for another guy, a tough guy. Oh, they were like, we're looking for this guy who could have, you know, killed him. And Doug Jones is like, no one ever beat Boom. And they're like, no. Emily goes, no, he's not a tough guy. We're looking for like a little grimpy shrimp dude. Like,
looking for a little fucking weasel of a man.
Yeah. And he probably lost every fight. Came in trying to be a man, but failed, went down easy, probably his first fight, and then, like, all of you guys, like, made fun of him. And then he went and he bought a gun. So think about that, bullies. Doug Jones is like, oh, you mean animal. He called himself, no, can I just say, Doug Jones goes, he came in here calling himself animal. That guy gave himself the nickname animal, which is tragic.
And also, I think is such a good, like, they say so much about his relationship with this group in one sentence. Like, what a lot of heavy lifting this sentence does. He called himself animal. Okay. Get his ass.
Get his ass. Couldn't even say, yeah, his name is Animal. No. I need you to know he called himself that. It's so
we did not give him this name.
Yeah. He lost every fight, but he kept coming back and getting in Boom's face. And most people would have run off, but instead, this guy freaked. And he mentions that, like, the way they end fights is by one person, like, gets their hand around the other one's throat. And everyone's like, oh, that's why the unsub, like, lingers on the dead bodies. Because he's, like, holding their throat. He shoots them in the neck and then puts his hand there being like, I did it. I won. Great. And they're asking for details. No names, no details. And Beanie goes, you know, don't talk about it.
They had to do one.
But he didn't even say, like, don't talk about Fight Club. He was just like, you know, don't talk about it. Haha, get it.
I'm honestly surprised they were so restrained with it.
I wonder if it's like a copyrighted phrase.
It absolutely, well, I think this is maybe the more clever way you could say it instead of just having them quote, don't talk about Fight Club.
Fair enough. Turn the nose. Yeah. Okay. They ask him to describe Animal, and he's like, scrawny, white trash, etc.
Describing himself to a T.
Literally, yeah. And so they're going to take him to the sketch artist, and they're like, he's going to strike again. And Hotch is like, there's only one thing we can do. Great. It's give a press conference. It's not what we're supposed to think it is. They're going to give a press conference. And Hotch is like, we're admitting that Diablo was the killer. A lot of mistakes were made that could have been avoided. So the FBI is officially taking charge of the investigation. I'm the boss now. There's a tip line. We're doing a sketch. I wrote, they're making themselves the biggest target. And then they said that. I was right. Thank you. Called it. Self high five. Okay. This guy's a narcissist and a psychopath. So he's going to go for big targets. He's been following the investigation closely. And he's going to see the BAU as putting themselves in charge as a challenge. And now there's a target on Hotch's back. They're describing what the place is going to be like. It's going to be in the 12th territory. It's going to be a location with multiple vantage points, lots of entrances, exits. It's going to happen quickly. The guy is smart and fearless. It's going to happen. Then somebody gets another call on the tip line. And Jordan comes in and is like, somebody saw the unsub. We, you know where he lives. It's right on the edge of the 12th territory. And it matches all of the criteria. So Evans is like, let's fucking go. And the BAU is like, wait. We got to figure out where it's going to be. So the area that the guy said he is a residential area with like a gas station. Lots of alleys, lots of back roads. Reed gets a satellite image. In real-time satellite image, which is a first, I think. And like, there's an apartment building. Nobody's coming and going. Like, Garcia goes back 12 hours. She calls it library quiet. Nobody has come into this area. And so Hodge is like, okay, cool. There's an apartment building right there. So, Cypress, you're going to go here and here. Jordan and Reed, you stay here and you keep going over the tips. Emily and Ross, you're going to be the second wave going into the building. And then me and Derek are going to be the first wave. Great. Tense music is playing. It's nighttime. Everyone is arriving at this apartment building. I wrote down, why aren't they wearing neck guards? There must be some sort of Kevlar collar, right?
There for sure is.
And then I wrote, that's what Hotch's tie is for. I thought it was fun. Okay. Derek and Hotch go inside. Hotch has like a rifle, like a big gun.
Yeah, prepared.
It's a tiny apartment, big gun. They go inside. It goes black. You hear like a bell toll. And they're like, clear, clear. And then they cut to them walking out and being like, false alarm. We knew we were going to get some. And Hotch is like, you should get your guys like split into shifts. It's going to be a long night. Great. We see the SUV come back into the station parking lot. The same one the guy's been driving through. We see it park. And somebody's watching from a car, right? And everyone gets out, but Hotch stays there. He's on the phone. And he's like alone now in the lot. And I was like, uh-oh. And then we cut to like the other side of Hotch and we see the unsub like approaching. And Hotch is walking on the sidewalk towards the building and the unsub is coming down the parking lot, kind of like following behind to next. And Hotch seems totally unaware. Hotch is like, doo-doo-doo-doo, I'm walking inside. Love it. And there's a big van. Hotch gets to the other side of the big van. And the guy's like, I'm gonna get him. And goes, but there's no Hotch. Surprise! He's behind you. And then, like, everybody is there. They knew.
They knew the whole time.
They knew.
I love when Hotch gets to be, like, a little theater kid. I love when he gets to use that Pirates of Penzance experience. He gets to be an actor. I love it.
Hotch is like, I did one show in high school to meet my now ex-wife. I could act. I could have done it if I wanted to.
I can act. And you know what? Yeah, man, you can. Have you always noticed that, like, Hotch is always, like, when they do these little, like, fake, like, acting moments, it's always Hotch who's there. It's always Hotch who's standing there loudly giving orders or making himself the target or, like, helping rush an already like an alive person to a like ambulance and stuff.
I think part of it is that he's in charge, but also his face is like inscrutable.
He's so impassive.
He like it's like impossible to like read him though. So I feel that like I feel that it makes sense for him to be like the drama. Although Rossi's really good at it too.
Yeah.
Rossi's like really good. Expect Rossi and Penelope at the end of fucking Masterpiece. When Rossi is like, oh no, how could you do this? They're in the house. Call them Penelope. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, if you can get me that recording, it'll be great for my class. Bye. Like, okay.
Anyway, I'm going to use that for my reel, actually. If you could just like, if you don't mind. My reel?
So funny because of what he does later. Okay. Derek takes the guy away. They're outside the precinct now. And there's like reporters and all the cops are celebrating. And Derek is talking to Evans, and they're like, oh yeah, we knew that he would wait until Hodge was alone, because like he always, that's his whole thing, right? Is getting people alone and then shooting them. And Evans is like, thank you for doing this. And Derek's like, no, that's necessary. Like, we didn't do it alone. You helped, right? And then as they're walking him away, the unsub animal, Playboy comes and just shoots him. And then they start arresting him. In like freeze frame, black and white on Playboy. And then freeze frame, black and white on animal. Why?
Why? Why did you guys do the weird NCIS ending freeze frame thing?
Why are there why did it go black and white? I don't understand. Okay.
The cycle of violence.
I know. Oh, this is what I was going to tell you. In this scene, when the guy shoots and it's all crazy, in the background, Emily and Jordan have been sitting close together. Emily, like, grabs Jordan when the gun goes off.
Aww, girlfriend.
Emily, like, grabs her and, like, pulls her close. Oh, no. It's, like, so girlfriend. For, it's, like, for just a second. I took screenshots, but they're, like, you know how blurry that scene is. But yeah. I was like, Emily's fully holding Jordan's arm. Like, love it. Emily said, I'm a gentleman. Guns go off. I protect the ladies.
I protect my lady.
Absolutely. Okay.
And she's real as hell for that.
No, she's like so real for that. What a lesbian. Okay. The next morning, everyone's like going to the cars and Derek is like, why don't you go ahead? And he's, like, looking at the widow and the son of the last cop that died. And he's like, go ahead. I have something I need to do. And Hodge is like, okay. Derek goes to the funeral. Okay, this made me be like, what? They're, like, at the funeral.
Like, the coffin is lowered into the ground in front of them.
It's, like, nice. They're, like, waiting to lower the coffin into the ground. And Derek comes up and is like, hey. We got the bad guy. Your dad's a hero. And then, like, shakes the kid's hand. And I was like, this is not the time.
Not the fucking time or place. Like, show up at the reception or something.
I was just
my guy, you like, know the, like, lunch spread in that church is fucking immaculate. Why would you just go to the funeral and not? Like, come on, my guy.
I know. I feel like they wanted a reason to, like, show the, you know, bagpipes and folding the flag and giving it to the widow. But, like, they could have, like, had all of this. Or they could have had Derek talk to the kid in the moment in the parking lot. Or they could have had this emotional scene and then have Derek be like, hey, we did it. He's a hero. He's not gone. Like, just to do it, like, in front of the guy's coffin feels like...
Bruh. Read the room.
Read the room, Derek. These people don't know who you are. Like,
yeah.
He gets introduced to them in this scene. Like, and then it was like a Shakespeare quote. There was like, he who has spilled blood beside me is my brother, William Shakespeare. And I was like, why not a great American author? But okay. And we're done. Honestly, I'm going to give this episode a 5.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, man, I'm going down, actually. I don't think this episode's that fucking good.
I actually don't think that episode's that good. I think it's fine. I had a good time. My episode it's was like, better.
Your episode would have been so much better. And I'll stand by that.
Yeah, it's a 5.
Did they say the episode title within the episode? No, they didn't. Did they?
No.
They did not say the episode title within this episode. They didn't say Wheels Up. And God and the Devil was not real in this one. Really just nose across the board for your boy.
Ugh.
No God, no devil.
No. No religion in this one.
No religion.
Which is fine, because we're about to get a big religious episode, so.
Yeah, we're like, what? Fucking. They're like clearing. They're like clearing the runway for demonology. They're like, everybody has to go. We need clear airspace for demonology. No clear the dreams. Room.
Nothing spiritual. Maybe they like had to do Ayn Rand because they couldn't have anyone like religious associated.
Yes. You know? So they had to find the most unreligious, most annoying philosopher of the fucking 20th century.
That is so funny.
Next week. On Wheels Up. we have Normal, which is a road rage episode. One of two road rage episodes we have in this back half of the season. So somebody was having a car moment in that writer's room.
This is the one with the shotgun guy, the dad? Okay. I remember being like, whoa.
Yeah, it's one of those episodes where you're like, oh, you people used to work on horror films. Okay, like that's what you do in the summer when you're not in production. You guys make Saw. Okay, I get it. I understand.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
But that is next week. Until then, you can find us anywhere you get your podcast. You can, if you could, it'd be really helpful if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us 5 stars on Spotify. You can also like send us questions on Tumblr. People have recently discovered we have a Tumblr. It's just Will's Up Pod on Tumblr.
Hi, this is James. I'm also here. I have a Tumblr. It's Jenny from the BAU with dashes between the words. Come find me. Don't be weird in my ask box. Every day there's people being weird in my ask box.
That's why I just be weirder right back. I'm just going to start fucking biting people.
I'm literally, like, I've started using, like, I have an annoyed JJ screenshot that I keep saving in my phone that I've just started, like, using.
Yeah. No, real.
I'm nice. I'm very nice. I engage with everybody. I do my best. Don't be weird. Don't be mean. But come find me.
That's all for this week. James, do you have an ending quote for me, bestie?
I do. As Beanie says, there's something about that hand at your throat. When you're beat, knowing your opponent has your whole life in his hand, it's primal, man.
With the growl and everything. With the growl and everything. No, I love it, I love it, I love it.
I love how he does the growls and everything.